What would you consider to be her best song, her signature song?
Oh, wow. That's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. That's why I asked it, because I can't answer it. So I kind of came up with a game called...
Joni All Alone.
Nice.
So you want to play?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Can you sing, can you dance, pull a rabbit from your pants, make a rhyme, tell a joke, burp when you drink a Coke? That's not a talent. Nope. Jump a hurdle, do a flip, get your dog to do a trick. Top talent.
Top talent.
Play piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of this song. It's already too long. Top talent. Everybody.
Top talent.
This is my podcast. Top talent.
Yeah, it's a little too wordy. I got to work on that. My name is Richie Phillips. Welcome to Top Talent. This is the podcast that originates from Albany, New York. The capital region is what they call it in upstate New York. And the idea of this podcast is I'm looking for talent. Looking for talent that either lives in the area, talent that has left the area and maybe made it big, or maybe made it not so big, who knows, or talent that's coming to the area. This person fits the latter category. Her name is Katie Perlman. She is a singer, songwriter, originally from New Jersey, lives on Long Island, and she performs as Katie Perlman. But she also has an alter ego, and the alter ego has something to do with an iconic singer-songwriter from the 70s, Joni Mitchell. And she heads up the Joni Mitchell Project. And she's coming to the Capital Region here on April the 2nd. You may be hearing this after the fact, but I still wanted to have her on here because she really, really is talented, and had a really cool conversation with her about her and about Joni Mitchell and other things. And at the conclusion, by the way, of this conversation, I have a rhyming editorial about something really bugging me. It has to do with Wordle. Without further ado, let's get into our conversation with Katie Perlman here on...
Top Talent!
Call it an alter ego?
You could, I guess.
I guess, yes. Maybe you can tell everybody what you're doing and what you're doing when you come to the area of upstate New York.
Yeah, so I'll tell you the long story. About 9 years ago, a friend of mine, a bass player named Joe Gallant, asked me to be a part of a Last Waltz show, if you remember the Last Waltz.
The band.
Show that happened, yes.
Oh.
The band with all of their musical guests, with Neil Young, Eric Clapton, to name a few, and Joni Mitchell. So a friend of mine, Joe Gallant, asked me to come sing Joni Mitchell's Coyote and in a show in New York City. And that was about 9 years ago, and we got off stage after we did the song, and another friend of mine, Godfrey Townsend, he said, "That was really good. You guys should do this." And he planted this seed, and ever since we got together and we just started playing, you know, some of our Joni Mitchell favorites, and we call ourselves the Joni Project because her material is so vast and
yes,
so wide, and it's quite the project, but it's definitely a labor of love, and it's grown into now we have a band of 8 members, and we do selections from all the different years of her career, from the first album all the way up to some later years stuff. Like You Dream Flat Tires kind of stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, and it's got to be a lot of preparation. How do you describe her music, let's say, to a millennial who's never heard Joni Mitchell? How do you put her style into words? Because she's
all over the
board.
She started out, yes, absolutely, which is part of one of the many reasons why I love her so much, because
yeah.
I, in my own career, music career, I'm also all over the board. So she started out as a solo folk musician, and just her and an acoustic guitar, and she traveled Canada and the U.S. and even further, just her and a guitar. And then in the 70s, she put a band together, and you know, she started assembling musicians for other albums like On Blue, but really with Court and Spark, she had the full band, and she did some live shows with the full band. And then, so I mean, that could possibly, you know, some of the songs are pretty rocking, especially the way we do them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way she did them as well, it, you know. So I would say in the 70s, she transitioned from a folk artist to more of a rock, you know, not a rock singer, but definitely the sound is a full band sound. And then she clearly had a love for jazz music.
Yeah, exactly.
And so as the years went on, then she assembled, for the Shadows and Light tour, Pat Metheny, who I love and I've seen many, many times. And, you know, Jaco Pastorius, of course. And so we love digging into that material. Especially, you know, when we travel, when we're coming up there in Albany, we got all eight of us, and we'll definitely delve into some of that Shadows and Light material.
How do you negotiate the show? It's not really an impression act. Like, for example, if you go to see an Elvis act, I want to see the person acting and sounding and looking exactly like Elvis, but you're not expecting that when you do more of an interpretation type of show, right?
Yeah. Well, we do improvise. We do, but we also stay true to her music. I mean, it's especially the vocal parts. You know, we stay pretty close. So you can definitely sing along at our shows, but we throw in some instrumental sections, and we experiment a little with the music. So it's a bit of a little bit of both.
But what I meant to say is, you're not looking in the mirror trying to look and sound exactly like her. You're not doing an impression of her. You're doing an interpretation of her, right? From the way I do.
Correct.
Did.
I mean, right. I mean, I don't really have to. Like, when I was 18 years old, somebody told me I look like Joni Mitchell.
Yeah,
I don't have to try to look like her. Okay. I just naturally do.
Right.
So, you know, it's a very symbiotic thing. It's nice. I don't have to try too hard, but
right.
There are similarities there.
And reading in your bio and so forth, you also experiment with, like, the alternate tunings that she did. Maybe you can explain that to a non-musical person. What is an alternate tuning, you know, with your guitar?
Yeah, so Joni Mitchell, she's not the only artist to use alternate tunings, but she did it more than any most artists, because when she was a little girl, she had polio, and it weakened her left hand.
Oh.
And she developed this unique way of, she would tune the guitar to sound a certain way that she, you know, just wanted to create a certain sound. And then she would write, you know, with those sounds in mind. And so a lot of her tunings are done in a way that you can, it's called barring the frets. You can basically take one finger and hold it down on all of the strings, and it produces a specific chord that, you know, guitarists would usually produce by putting their fingers in kind of spider-like fashion. So it's a very unique way of playing, and it's really the only way to get the sounds that she got. I've played her songs in just regular tunings, as you would, you know, purchase a guitar and it's in
right.
What we call standard tuning, but you just don't get the same sounds. Like, she tunes some of the strings down really low, and it produces a, you know, a specific sound mm-hmm. that's unique to her.
What's a little bit confounding to me and very annoying is the fact that I can't really play, because of copyright problems, I can't play these songs on my podcast. I'm doing a podcast about music and you can't play music on it. But like A Case of You is a good example. You know, in the very beginning of A Case of You, when you hear the guitars, and I always listen to it, they sound a little bit almost out of tune. Is that
actually that's because that is not a guitar. It's an Appalachian dulcimer.
Because it's a dulcimer. Oh.
And the dulcimer, it's the intonation of a dulcimer, that some of the frets are pretty wide. And again, she also tuned the dulcimer different ways. So on the Blue Album, for instance, there are four dulcimer songs, and they are each tuned a different way. The instrument itself has a unique sound.
Yeah.
So if you play the same note on a dulcimer and then the same note on a guitar, there's definitely going to be, you know, a slight difference in the intonation. So that's what you hear.
It's almost ukulele-ish in a way, kind of. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, it's for me, I think it's a little bit like a mandolin.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because two of the strings are the same note.
So what is your musical training to take on something like this? I mean, and plus the band. I mean, you really have to know your stuff. This isn't just like a C chord, an F chord, and a G chord. We're talking...
That's right. That's right. Well, actually... My mom was a church musician. And she taught me a little bit of piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a little bit of trumpet in school, and then I really wanted to play drums as a young girl.
Yes, so, I read that. Yeah, okay.
So I did that for quite a while outside of school, but I took private lessons. And then I did some time at William Patterson University, and I played in the orchestra there as a percussionist.
Oh.
And then I just, you know, a lot of music came very natural to me. And I worked with a variety of artists, and that really I got a lot of on-the-job training.
Mm-hmm.
And now, actually, when the pandemic hit, I decided to go back to school for music education.
Oh.
And I've been studying at Queens College for the past almost 2 years in Queens, New York. It's called Aaron Copland School of Music, and it's a classical program. And it's been very humbling.
You have to relearn, you know, right?
Yes, and because I've done a lot of my musical experience has been a lot by ear and chord charts, and really just a lot similar to Joni, you know, playing what sounds right. You
mm-hmm.
know,
that's me. I can't read music at all. I've been playing all my life. I still can't read music. I meet so many people that don't play. Yeah, that don't read. I should say, not don't play.
Right,
don't read.
And. So I have been reading music for the past almost 2 years, and I feel like a baby sometimes.
Yep.
this program's having me play a ton of piano, which that's interesting. And I'm also playing classical guitar. For this project, it's you know, the ear training for me. And just loving the music so much that, you know, you'll listen to it 1,000 times to learn it, you know. And even some of these songs are so complex, and to do the guitar and the vocal part, I mean, I just, you know, like I said, we started this 9 years ago, and it's great music to just keep. You know, deepening my relationship with the music.
It's like a master class. I was thinking about that. Just learning these songs. My God, I have a piano right here. Like, I always hear like a Joni Mitchell kind of chord is like.
Yes.
You know, it's always like that weird, I don't even know what that's called, A minor 7th, 9th, 11th, I don't know.
Yeah, very suspended. She loved the suspended chords.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
Loved her stuff. Loved her stuff.
You know, it would be amazing if I had the opportunity. It would be amazing to get the opportunity to speak with her.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I would be probably pretty starstruck. And to be learning someone's music so in such a detailed way, it would be quite the honor to speak with her. That would be really neat.
Now, you also are in a duo?
I have a couple of duos, yeah. So One of my bandmates is a beautiful singer. Her name's Victoria Fiella. And so in our Joni project, we do some of Joni's songs as duets, which is interpreted, of course. And so we decided to turn it into a duo, and we've written a couple of songs together. We've recorded a couple of songs, and we call ourselves the Blessed Unrest.
I like the name.
And you know, it just that bodes to speaking about how an artist's work is really truly never done.
Yeah.
It is always just a thing in motion that we always strive to keep creating and you know, find the muse.
Mm-hmm. And I found it
so
on.
So it's called the Blessed Unrest.
I found you on Apple Music. Yes, we
have a couple of songs on Apple.
Yep.
We recorded Case of You.
Yeah,
and
great version. I love it. Really good harmonies on it. Yeah.
And we recorded an original song of mine called Then and Now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song I wrote many years ago, and then I just, you know, I never recorded it, and I was practicing it, and I said, this would sound really good as a duo. So Victoria and I, we do some shows here and there. And I have another duo project called The Grateful Girls, and we do duo renditions of Grateful Dead songs.
I love it, The Grateful Girls.
Yeah.
Trucking.
absolutely, yeah. So.
And are you out on Long Island? I'm sorry, do you live on Long Island?
Yes, I am on Long Island.
And where are you from?
I'm from New Jersey originally.
Oh.
Northern New Jersey.
Oh, okay. But where do you live on Long Island? I'm just wondering what town, because I'm from there.
I'm in Nassau County. I'm actually not too far from Queens.
Okay.
You said you're from out east, right?
Yeah, I'm way out east past Riverhead. Matatuck is where I'm from. That's where I was born out there, all the way out there. Oh, interesting.
That's got to be beautiful. Yeah, I love the island. I love being close to the water.
Oh, yeah.
And the music scene here is really, really flourishing, and tons of musicians, and a great thing going on the island.
Back to Joni Mitchell, what would you consider to be her best song, her signature song?
Oh, wow. That's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. That's why I asked it, because I can't answer it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't her best song.
Well, the one you most like doing, maybe. I don't know.
One of my favorites is definitely Help Me.
Oh, it's a great song. Yeah.
But there are other songs that just are like so poetic and so meaningful to me, like Refuge. We do Refuge of the Roads.
Mm-hmm.
And Hejira. The lyrics are just so touching. And Case of You is beautiful. I could go on. Really, you know, it's hard to pick favorites, but I would say, you know, one of the songs that, you know, the first songs that I heard that I was like, wow, was Help Me.
Was Help Me, yeah.
Help Me, yeah.
And again, those are tough chords.
Yeah, it's unique. It's
right.
Definitely unique.
Now, I used to be on morning radio, and actually, I did 30 years on morning radio, and it was a country station. And I noticed when you go out as Katie Perlman, or at least you, one of your albums is really a lot of country, basically country music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had there was quite a few years where I was really into country music.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, and I'll never forget it too. When I was first going to William Patterson University, I commuted from home, and I did one of those, you know, you press seek on the radio or scan, and it just, you know, pops up a station, you know, and it was country, and I never had listened to country, but
yeah.
That particular day, you know, I listened, and the lyrics just like, it just, I was like, wow, this is great. And then, so, you know, that was like in 99, 2000. It was really a good time for country music.
That's right.
And
yep.
And I started just, I was like, as a songwriter, was really love the lyrics of country music. I love the simplicity, the mm-hmm. honesty, and how it can make you laugh sometimes.
Yeah.
Some of the songs can make you laugh, and some could just make you cry.
Yep, I mean, exactly, you know, exactly. It's the closest,
I love that.
Closest thing we have to maybe the folk era in a way, because at least it's lyrical. You listen to it. At least it has a point.
It's not even like a similar to a blues, you know.
Yeah.
When you listen to a blues song, the lyrics are usually pretty simple.
That's
and
right.
It just, and it touches your heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an album called Girls Like Us, and I actually like set out to you know, use some fiddle and you know, I would say to my guitarist, like, listen to Brad Paisley, and can you do like a Brad Paisley thing on this, you know? And so I definitely, Girls Like Us is has definite some country songs.
What do you think is the best Joni album? Because I've heard several famous people tell right off the bat what they thought was the most incredible album of the singer-songwriter era.
Yeah, well, my favorites, are Blue.
Yeah, that's the one.
Court and Spark.
Yeah.
You know, Blue and Court and Spark are both my favorites. But Shadows and Light, I mean, it's a live album. But, you know, it's I'll never forget when my brother gave me that. And, you know, and I was like, wow, you know, because I was a percussionist at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was like, check this out, because, you know, there's a lot of drums on there and, you know, so I love that one too. Those are my three favorites for
Gotcha. Well, you know, when I did morning radio, we always had some kind of a game. So I kind of came up with a game, and I actually have a jingle for it. Ready? It's called
Joni or Baloney.
I don't know if you can hear that. I call it Joni or Baloney. Okay.
Nice.
So we're gonna play a game here. We're gonna say if it's true, you say Joni, and if it's baloney, you say baloney. So you want to play?
Yep.
Okay, great. Here's your first question. George W. and Laura Bush, former President Bush, they named their child after a Joni Mitchell song. Is that Joni or baloney?
Oh, I'd say baloney.
It is baloney. Right.
Yeah.
Because it was the Clintons. Because it's Chelsea Clinton.
Oh, nice.
She was, yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. All right, here's your second one now. You're going to know this one. The jazz musician who collaborated with her was Charlie Mingus.
That's Joni.
That is definitely Joni.
Definitely Joni.
Okay, here's your third one. David Crosby said that Court and Spark might be the greatest singer-songwriter album of all time. And I'll give you a hint. We just talked about the album that he thought was the best.
Yeah, it's got to be Joni.
No, it's baloney.
It's baloney?
It's Blue. He thought Blue was the greatest.
Oh, it's Blue.
Yep.
Okay, it's
yep.
Blue.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, this one you got to get right. Joni Mitchell was born in Canada. Joni or baloney?
That's Joni.
That's got to be Joni, right? Judy Collins made a hit out of Help Me, which is Joni's song.
I'd say baloney.
That is baloney, and we all know the song. It was Both Sides Now, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's the one Joni wrote. And A Case of You, which we talked about, was a composite of guys that Joni dated, but primarily it's about Stephen Stills from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Joni or baloney? This is the last one.
I think Joni.
No, it's baloney. Oh,
it's baloney.
It was James Taylor.
James Taylor.
I didn't know she dated James Taylor. I know she dated David Crosby, right?
And Stills.
And Stills? Ooh,
I think so.
Oh, see, I made up still. Oh, maybe.
I think both of them.
Okay, then.
Or Nash, it was Graham Nash.
Or maybe all of them. You know, it was the free
it
love.
Was two,
the free
definitely
love.
Two of them. Definitely two of them. And I always get Stills and Nash confused.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Did you like them, Crosby, yeah. Stills, and Nash? I think they're incredible too. Weren't they unbelievable?
Oh yeah. Oh, and yeah. Actually, Crosby, his new album. I don't know if you've
yes.
listened to it, but he does a great version of For Free on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually gave us the idea of doing For Free as a duet,
oh.
me and Victoria.
Huh.
So we do that our own way also. But yeah, it's great.
Speaking of him, he made a statement recently I'd like to get your reaction to. I think he's a little bit bitter about streaming and, you know, how musicians aren't getting their due monetarily anymore. But he made a statement saying, my advice is don't become a musician. Don't pursue music.
Wow.
I guess you would definitely be against that. You do it full
time. I definitely don't agree with that. But, you know, it could be a hard living, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But there are ways to, you know, to incorporate, like, obviously, if you become an educator,
right.
You'll have a better, there are ways to monetize it. But it is tough. But if that's what you do, you can't not do it, right?
Right. And then the world needs it more than ever right now, don't you think?
Yeah, well, I think if you're a musician, you know, you need it too. I know I need it.
Right.
So, the world definitely needs it.
Have you seen a couple of these musicians that went to Ukraine and just play right there in front of those buildings? There was like a piano player. I don't know if you saw that on YouTube.
It's
just amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
God bless him, I'll tell you. Well, this has been great. I'm sure everybody in the Capital Region can't wait to see you. And do you perform, since, you know, this is going on Facebook and my podcast channel, this could be listened to anywhere. Where do you go from the Capital Region? When's the next time your group's going to play, your Joni Mitchell group?
Yeah. So we will be, tomorrow, actually, we're playing in New York City at City Winery. Then we're going to Albany next weekend, and then the next show is at Daryl's house.
No, really?
Yes.
Oh.
We've played there a few times, great venue, and we have a blast because it's a nice, intimate venue, and people, you know, we just have fun. And then we got a festival in the summer on Long Island called the Great South Day Festival. It's an incredible festival. Susan Tedeschi's playing it. Los Lobos on the day we are playing on the Sunday, July 10th.
What town is that? Do you know?
It's
you
out in Patchogue.
Patchogue, really? Because like I told you, that's not too far from where I used to live. Wow.
That's right. And it's right on the water. It's, you know, Patchogue's a great town for food and music.
Yeah.
And the festival is a nice family-friendly festival, so highly recommend that, even if you travel a little bit, to come check that out. It's a lot of fun.
And I'm sure people who are listening going, yeah, you know, you guys have talked. We'd like to hear a little bit of her music, and I can't really do that on here. But you do have your music on YouTube.
On YouTube, on iTunes, on Spotify. On my website, I have some on katieperlman.com.
That's your Katie Perlman music. I'm talking also about your Joni. If they want to hear you do.
Yeah, we have some Joni Project videos on my website as well.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm so glad that you agreed to do this on short notice.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and we can't wait to hear you up here.
All right, thanks. Take good care.
Okay, you too. Top Talent! Well, that was a nice conversation. I will be putting up links to where you can hear some samples of her work, both as Katie and as Joni. I will put that in my show notes for you. When I was on the air, I had a nickname. The nickname was Rhymin' Richie because I always tried to rhyme whatever was going on in the news or whatever was on my mind. And this has been on my mind lately, the game Wordle. More importantly, the people who play it and have to, no matter what it is, they have to feel the compulsion to put their results, their very, very successful results, on Facebook and make me feel even stupider than I already am because I can never solve that puzzle. So this is my rhyming response to you folks. Leave it at that, and I thank you all for listening to this episode of Top Talent. See you on every other Top Talent Tuesday when I post a new one. Hope you can follow this on Facebook. Hope you will go and like it and subscribe to the podcast. I would really appreciate it. And that's it. Take care.
Stop showing us how great you are at Wordle.
Wordle.
Stop boasting by posting your results.
Don't.
Each time I play, it's been a mental hurdle.
Hurdle.
You think it's easy for an elderly adult?
it's not.
When I work on them, I'm slower than a turtle.
Turtle.
Five letters, you'd think it'd be a snap.
A snap.
But just looking for the vowels plays havoc with my bowels. It's to the point where I don't give a crap. It's becoming quite obscene, seeing boxes that are green on Facebook every morning on my feed. You expect me to hit like? Why don't you take a hike? For all we know, you could be a cheek.
Could you say Google?
Actually, you're making my blood curdle.
Curdle.
Blood, that's five letters. I'll try that. Nah, I've changed my mind. I think I'm more inclined to sit and pick the fur balls off my cat. It's more rewarding. I hate Wordle. And that's that. Stop posting it.
Top Talent. This is my podcast, Top Talent.